Today's reading is from Ezekiel 43, 1 through 5. Please turn to Ezekiel 43, 1 through 5 in your Bible, or turn to page 713 in the Bibles provided. Then the man brought me to the gate facing east, and I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the rushing of waters, and the land was radiant with his glory. The vision I saw was like the vision I had seen when he came to destroy the city, and like the visions I had seen by the Kabar River, and I fell face down. The glory of the Lord entered the temple through the gate facing east. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. You may be seated. Children may go back to children's church.
Good morning. So, you hear that all right? Okay. Glad to be here this morning. I'm thankful that Pastor Doug shares pulpit with me this morning. Thank you very much. I think we'll just go ahead and go straight into prayer real fast, and then we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord, and give your word. Father, I just pray today as I go through your word that everything that I say is from your breath, Lord. It's what you've given me, Lord, to give them. And I thank you so much for all that you've done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This morning is going to be a sermon that I don't know that you've probably ever heard. It is one that I was sitting in a church one time, and the pastor was preaching, and it came to me. They told me, look up the word east. See what that means in the Bible. I thought, what? It made no sense to me why I was going to have to look up the word east. But I went home, and I sat down, and I started studying it. And it was amazing some of the things that came out of just that one word, east. And let me get started here. So I called it this morning, what's the significance of east in the scriptures? If you remember back when God said that he would forgive you all of your sins and he will place them as far as the east is from the west. And I kind of sat back, I thought about it, and I thought, I don't know, why would God want to place it from the east? Why not the west from the east? That doesn't make any sense, you know? And I'd just sit back and kind of think about those things. But then when I got started, I started out over here in Genesis 2:8. And in verse 2:8 it says, now the Lord had planted the garden in the east of Eden. And the name of the third river is the Tigris River, and it runs along the east side of Asher. So already things start kind of falling into place there. Think, okay, the east. Okay, I got it. When God planned things, he done things in a certain way, right? He done it because that's the way he wanted things done. And then as we read on, we'll find here in Genesis 3:24, that after he drove Adam and Eve out of the garden, he placed the cherubims and the flaming sword on the east side of the garden. But before it happened, he told Adam and Eve they had to leave the garden, and they had to leave by the east side. Why? Well, when I put the two together and realized that when they were kicked out of the garden on the east side, and all of our sins have been placed to the east instead of the west, it made me really look into it and say, what does the word east mean? There's two different meanings to the word east. And as we get further down, we can talk about what that is there. And in Genesis 4:16, it said, so Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So there again, he went east. Now, why would he have to go east? What did he do that was so horrible that he had to go east? Well, he killed his brother, right? So it started dawning on me that the negative things and the things that aren't right go east, need to be east of God. In other words, away from God. He didn't want them there next to him, right? So when we have that part going on and he goes out there, he went out into the east and you know, he went to that little land and that's where he lived and what he did, you know. And back when they did offerings, a lot of their burnt offerings had to be placed on the left, on the east side of the altar. And we'd found that out when Valerie and I had the opportunity to go down and see the tabernacle over in Claremore that they had to set up, and they were teaching us that there, and it was really interesting to see. And back in the day when they built the tabernacles, they built them so they, the doorway and all would face the east. And if you'd notice the church, our doors face the east. Interesting, isn't it? Well, in Ezekiel, as she read, 1 through 5, of verse 43, and over to it. I'm going to have to do like Doug. I'm going to have to write them on paper instead. I just know that it was saying that God came from the east with his glory. His glory came out of the east. So it didn't go to the east. It came out of the east. So it's one of them things that is just amazing. Because he also says over in 11:23 that Ezekiel's vision of God's glory comes from the east. And when he went up on that mountain, he stood to the east of it. And the same temple faces the east with a river that flows east from it. So this was kind of amazing to me that there were so many times in the Bible where the word east was showing up. And I kind of went back too and looked at the fact of our earth. You know, when you look at it, you think, okay, now I just don't make any sense. Why did he not choose north or south? Well, then it dawned on me, you know, our earth pivots on an axis. North and south poles, right? So it doesn't move there. It moves on those. But then I thought, no, which way is the earth spin? So that even got a little deeper. And I realized that when you get up in the morning and you realize that the sun rises in the east, but it sets in the west. So that makes me wonder, do we rotate east? I don't know. Maybe we do. Because you watch it stay there. It's stationary. It ain't moving. We are. So we must rotate to the east. East to the west. So that's kind of interesting to see those things. And I don't know why, but the Lord's picked me several times for things like that, where he's just gave me a word. And I think, why? Why do you want me to do this? You know? Because I get just as confused as the next guy. But the nice thing is that in some of the places in the word, it may be used as a negative thing, east. Moving eastward seems to signify you're moving into wickedness instead of kindness and love. But then in the other place, it seems like righteousness comes from the east. God's glory came from the east. So it's a little different until you actually look into it and start studying it. Then when we go over to Psalms 103:12, over in Psalms 103:12, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far that he removes our transgressions from us. And that's where I was saying, God places it that way because he doesn't want that sin near him. He doesn't want sin. And that's one of the ways that I thought, well, that's pretty amazing. That I like the fact that that's what God does. And I didn't know how he made it or why he made it that way. Other than he's God, you know. Doggone it. Hold on a minute. My page flipped over on me here. There we go. Okay. And then we'll go over to Matthew 2. And then it's 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of the king Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and had come to worship him." They have come to worship him. And again, they came from the east to the west. And to go from the east to the west is to come back into his presence. So when you go away from God, you leave his presence. And when you come from the east, you go to his presence. So as I looked up the word east in the dictionary to look at what it kind of said there, it said that it was a new beginnings, a new growth, air and communication. Back in the day, Lot went towards the east. That was back in Genesis 13 and 11. Back in 13:11, he said, "So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of Jordan and set out toward the east." And then that was when I was talking earlier about you, when you're thinking about the sunrise in the east and the sun setting in the west. I don't think any of us gave it any credit when we think about it in the morning. We just know the sun's rising, sun's setting. You know, we don't think much about it. But it's to me, it just kind of feels like maybe that's God's glory in the morning when that sun comes up. Because the reason for having them tabernacles facing the east was because the sun rose in the east. And light came through those doors. They didn't have electricity like we do today. You know, that was how they had light in their tabernacle. And it's just kind of interesting to think about those things, you know. Like when Jesus came to Calvary, he came from the east and went to the west. And it was kind of amazing. Pastor and I were talking the other day about this, and never dawned on me until he had said something about, you know, when the people are buried nowadays, your feet are buried towards the east. You're facing that way when you're in the ground. Because when God comes back, you're going to come up and meet him and see his glory come from the east. So it's just kind of amazing to think that the Spirit can come in and he can give you a word. And it's just something like you've never heard before, you've never really seen. I mean, you hear him talk about it, but you don't give it any credit. You know, you don't think about east. Okay, big deal, it's east, you know? And those are the only ones that I found in the Bible, but I'm not so sure that that's all of them there really is. You know, I think there's more there the deeper you can get into it, you know? And there was many times, like I said, when the Lord would come to me, he would give me something like that. And I guess one that really bothered me, and I never chose to make a sermon out of it, I was a little scared of it, was when he came to me and I was in the shower and he says, "How come you teach your kids about Santa Claus?" I said, "What?" He says, "He's not real." He said, "Why are you teaching your kids about the Easter Bunny? Why are you teaching your kid about the Tooth Fairy? You know, all those things are not right." You know, it's, but yet when you teach them about me, they don't believe I'm real. That one really struck me, and I hadn't really got into it, so I kind of left it alone. But I know that God gives me these words for a reason, and that he wants his people to hear what he has to say. And that's what we'll work on each time that we do a sermon or talk to people about God and stuff. And that's pretty much what I have about East. And I just thought that it was kind of interesting because I had never heard about it before either. You know, no one's ever brought up that particular word and used it. But so far, that's what we came up with. And I appreciate that you folks listen to me and stuff. And I hope it gave your mind a new thought. You know, and think, wow, that's just something I never thought about, you know. So, but I appreciate it. And once again, I thank you, Doug, for letting me come up here. And we'll let you close this out here. I'll go ahead and do a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for that opportunity to get to come before you again, Lord. And we just thank you for the message that you've given us, Lord. And we just ask that we don't question you, Lord, that we just learn about you, Lord, and what you want us to know about you. And as they all go today, Lord, we just ask that you would bless each and everybody that's here, Lord, and the ones that aren't here, Lord. We ask that you would heal them and bring them back. In your mighty name, amen.